And I thank you for the stillness and the goodness and the blessings in my life. But dear Lord, there are many who have problems in their life and illness and difficulties. And dear Lord, we pray for them too. We pray for all in our church family. We pray for our community. We pray for this world. Would you lift up those in our midst, dear Lord, who need your care? Bob Lipscomb is in the hospital, and we do ask you to be with him. And we pray for Larry Williams' son-in-law, Brad Brooks. We pray for Dale Weigel. We thank you, dear Lord, that Walter Boggs is back home. We pray that he would be able to get stronger and continue to heal, dear Lord. That Gene and Aaron Thompson are back home. We pray for continued healing with them. And also Jamie Schertzinger is back home, dear Lord. We thank you for his healing, and we just pray that you continue to be with him. But dear Lord, be with everyone that needs your care. There's so much sickness and pain in this world, dear Lord, and we do lift that all to you and give it to you, dear Lord, and knowing that you will provide, that you will wrap your arms around those who need your touch. That you just be with us, dear Lord, be with all that we do and all that we can think of doing, dear Lord, that we just think of your will in our lives. And remember the word that we're going to hear today, dear Lord, that just help it to be placed in our heart, dear Lord, so that we can use it to strengthen our faith and our trust in you. Just be with us all, dear Lord. We just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Are you a murderer? Are you a murderer? If you have your Bible with you this morning and you'd like to turn with me, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Let's pray. Lord, help still our minds. Help us to truly pause and consider. Consider where we are in our lives, what our relationship with you is like. Help us consider. Help us to ponder whether we have anger in our hearts, Lord, that we need to let go. We thank and we praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask my opening question another way. I asked you, are a murderer. Now I want to ask you, in a more general way, do you have anger towards your brother? And I warn you, when the Bible talks about brother, Jesus here, don't get by if you think, well, I don't have any siblings, or I get along great with my physical brother. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about people, just people in general. So you can say, we could have just as easily said, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with another. That's how Jesus intended it. So again, are you a murderer? I would imagine most of you are unequivocally would say no. But do you have anger in your heart towards another? And I would say from that the most of us, just because I know human nature, not because I know all of you who are listening, but I imagine each of us at some point in our lives would have to say yes. Vengeance is mine, says Rick. Vengeance is mine. There's a part of me, the human part of me, that never goes away. When I become a Christian, I don't become all of a sudden divine and everything I do is perfect and right and I never miss the mark. There's a part of me that wants to bring vengeance. When someone hurts me, when someone hurts someone I love, or someone just hurts a friend. Sometimes I can just get frustrated with someone who hurts somebody who I don't even know. There's a part of me that vengeance is mine. I want to fix this. I want to make things right. At least in my mind. Now, when I was a child, vengeance was quite often immediate. And it was whatever was done to me, I'm going to do it back, right? Somebody hits me, I'm going to hit them back. Somebody throws a rock at me, I'm going to throw a rock back. Now, when we get older, I think we think it through. We're more inventive as to the ways that we can bring about vengeance. We may even wait a while, or maybe we'll just stew about it. Jesus has a way with getting to the heart of God's directives in his book. Can you hear he's speaking to those of you who may have felt a sense of comfort that, no, I don't commit murder, therefore I'm okay. And Jesus says, but however, look into the heart. You see, Jesus wants to change the heart of individuals. Not just their actions. Because truthfully, if the heart gets changed, the actions will ultimately follow. Do you have anger in your heart towards another? He starts off by saying, you have said, or you have heard it said. You've heard it said. Of course, you can go back and look into the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And there's other places where God speaks. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. Again, this ought to be obvious. And he's saying, listen, everyone hears that. And I would say from my own experience, not that I can say this unequivocally, but I think with every community, no matter where you're at, no matter what race you are, what color you are, what city you live in, what community you live in, the type of language you speak, there's something innate in us that believes it's wrong to kill. There's a part of us that feels that way. And Jesus has just acknowledged that. Listen, you've heard that. You've seen it in the Word of God, if you've studied the Word of God. And keep in mind, the Word of God at that time was the Old Testament, not the New, not what we're reading out of here this morning. It wasn't even written yet. But you see it in the Old Testament. Thou shall not kill. And again, you may feel some comfort. I'm okay, I'm right, I'm not doing those things. But then he says, but I say. Now understand, Jesus is God's Son. He has the same authority as the Father, and he can and does expound upon what the Word of God says. He has a right to do that. I cannot add to anything, but Jesus can. And he says, listen, you've heard that said, but I want to add to you even if you have anger in your heart towards another. Notice that he uses the same words. You've heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. And he repeats the same thing concerning anger towards another. Everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And eventually, at the end of that verse, speaks of being liable to hellfire. He's warning us that those of you who have not committed murder, understand, if you've had that sense of anger or frustration towards another, you too are not in the will of God. As some might suggest, and probably in the years that I've preached the gospel and the times that I've spoke, that I felt like, you know, that Jesus adds a lot to what's being said. But truthfully, if you go back, and if you have your Bible and you want to turn back, let's go back to Exodus 23 for a minute. And you'll see that even in the Old Testament, there was clear statements from God as to how we should treat our enemies. So someone that we may be angry with them, someone that we may be upset with, someone that we consider an enemy, for whatever reason you might come up with. If you look in Exodus 23, so these are words that we believe that ultimately came from Moses. So God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. He also gave these words of Moses to give to the children of Israel. Exodus 23, verses 4 and 5. Speaking of how you should treat somebody who you think is an enemy. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. Do you see? God has been saying from the very beginning that we should not be holding anger in our heart towards another. People are going to be doing things, and we live in a broken world. All of us are broken in different ways. People are going to do things that will hurt us, that will harm us. Jesus is telling us, if you want to put yourself in my will, if you want to honor God with your life, then you need to, yes, not only avoid killing others, but you also need to avoid having anger towards others. Now listen, I want you to know, I understand, this is not easy. Hey, Jesus is not calling us to do easy things. I think if Jesus was calling us to do easy things, our church houses would be full, running over. We'd have to build more buildings. He's asking of us to do the hard thing. The most natural thing for us is to respond, is to react, is to attempt to have anger, and eventually the opportunity comes to harm another. But Jesus is telling us to not, to have a different attitude, to have a different change of heart, to even care and love those who would mistreat us. I realize it's not easy, but I believe in a God that would never ask of us to do something that He would also not equip us to do. Just as someone who cares and loves for you might say in your home, your family, when you were growing up, and your mother or father might ask of you to do something. They wouldn't ask you to do something that they knew you were not capable of doing. Just in the same way, our Heavenly Father will never ask of us anything that He will not also make it possible for us to do it. So you've heard it said, don't murder. And He says, but I add to that, or I say, don't even have anger in your heart towards another. And then Jesus says, therefore, or verse 23 says, so if you have been harboring that anger towards another, then He talks about how we should be even avoid offerings under God. He says, so if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You see, the gifts and offerings, now we think about gifts and offerings, especially from the Old Testament, quite often that was talking about monetary gifts or a physical sacrifice, taking an animal to the temple. Paul makes it clear in the New Testament, although this was also true in many ways in the Old Testament as well, Our true offerings unto God now, there is no physical temple standing. Our true offerings unto God, and yes, we do need offerings unto the church in order to keep the lights on, right? Keep the heat on, have a building to stand inside. But much of our offerings unto God is talking about our choices that we make in our lives. Living a God-honoring life, this is our offerings unto God. And Jesus here is telling you that all of those offerings that you're giving unto God are no value to you. You're wasting your time. You're not improving your relationship with God if you're withholding something that you need to give to your to another, and that is forgiveness. Letting it go. Moving on. Listen, if you have a relationship right now in your family, might even be your spouse or an ex-spouse or a brother or a cousin or an uncle, anger for something that was done in the past, today is the day to let that go, to give it over unto God. Do you understand your ability to have a good relationship with your God is being limited because you're continuing to carry this hatred and anger and frustration towards another? You cannot be a fully functional and healthy child of God and harbor anger towards another. I need to be honest with you here this morning. I too still wrestle with this. There's still that response, that first initial thought. But I recognize with the words of Jesus here how wrong that is. I think every one of us would say, I would never commit murder. But at the same time, I imagine each one of us has at times clutched tightly to our anger towards another. I too still wrestle with this, but first of all, again, you need to start off with acknowledging and knowing that it too is wrong, even on the level of murder in the eyes of God. That's the beginning. And I can tell you from my own experience. Now listen, there's no doubt in my mind that there's people out there right now who's listening to this message who have been hurt in ways that are way beyond my understanding. I know that. I've talked to some of you. I'm not suggesting that I can tell you how it's done, or suggest that it's easy because I've done it myself, because your hurts may be much worse or much different than my hurts. But I can say wholeheartedly that if you believe in the same God I believe in, that there is no level of hurts that God here is suggesting that would limit our abilities to forgive, to let go of that anger. Understand that when you retaliate, you simply put yourself on their level. Now, if you felt it was wrong that they hurt you, do you really think you going and doing the same thing to them somehow is right? If you didn't think it was right when they did it to you, why do you now think it's right for you to do it to them? When you murder, you take away another person's life. When you hold anger towards somebody else, listen, I know people who have done it for years. Years. Went to their grave with it. Do you understand daily, in a sense, you're hurting somebody? And you know who you're hurting the most? Yourself. Not only yourself, but you're also hurting your loved ones. Because as you harbor that anger and resentment towards others, you cannot be the person that God has created you to be. Your love, your ability to care for others is limited because you're holding this anger out towards somebody who hurt you. Can you see that you're allowing that hurt? You're in a sense, you're giving them power to continually hurt you over and over again. It's a cancer that is guaranteed to metastasize. It will grow on and it will permeate all aspects of your life. And sadly, I've seen even seen it handed down to generations, where one parent or a family carries that anger down to the next generation and to the next generation. How about you be the one? You be the one that stands out and says, no, this is enough. I'm going to do it because it's right before God, but secondly, I'm going to do it because I realize it's right from my heart. It's good for me. Don't let those who harm you continue to hold power over you. Give it over to God. Let me encourage you to do this, and I've done this. When you feel a sense of anger towards somebody, start off with praying for them. Maybe pray something like this: Lord, I don't want to pray for this guy, I don't want to pray for this girl, but I'm praying for him because you said so. God knows your heart. You don't have to pretend to God that all of a sudden I love this person and I want great things to happen. Just start off with, Lord, I don't know why I need to pray for them. They don't deserve your mercy or grace, but I'm going to pray for them anyway because you told me to. I tell you that because I've done that myself for someone who's hurt me. And the interesting thing was, I seen in my own life a change that took time. But in time, I sensed in my heart a change where I got to the point where someone who had hurt me, I began to actually pray for them and sense in my heart a desire for goodness for them. Actually having compassion for the very person who has hurt me. And again, I don't say that lightly because I know some of your stories. I know some of you have been hurt in ways beyond anything that I've ever been hurt. I don't say that lightly. I know it's not easy, and I know it may take time. But listen, it's worth the effort. Give it over to God. You can do it. I also want to add, this does not preclude us from turning somebody into the civil authorities. Say someone comes over to my house tonight, maybe you'll test me and see how well I can respond of anger towards you if you hurt me. Someone comes to my house now and breaks into my car and gets in it and drives off, steals it. And I have it on film. I have a little camera in the front of my house. Picks up movement. Now, to suggest that Jesus is asking me to forgive them, to forgive them my heart, doesn't suggest that I cannot now turn them over to civil authorities. I would. He's not talking about how we should respond. If someone has done something hurtful to you, there is a time and a place when we should respond and we should turn them over to the civil authorities, so that they can receive the punishment that they should receive. Right? If someone stole my vehicle, and then they should bring it back at minimum in some way, give restitution for what they did. Jesus is not talking about never asking anybody to be accountable for what they did, but what he's saying is to let go of that anger in your heart. You see, they're two separate things. I can stand up and testify to the bad thing you've done to me in a court of law and say, yes, he did it, and see that you receive the punishment that the law requires, but I can also stand there with concern in my heart towards the person who has harmed me. Turn them in if it's a serious crime. Matter of fact, in some cases, we're breaking the law if we don't, right? Especially when it comes to someone, a child being hurt. But notice back in Exodus again, if you still have your Bible in that area, turn to Exodus 23, chapter 23, now verse 22. Exodus 23, verse 22. But if you carefully obey his voice, and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. I just wanted you to show that this mindset, this idea, was in the Old Testament, but some of you probably are more familiar with what we see in the letter of Romans that Paul says concerning God's view of someone doing harm to another. He says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." You see, when you let go of that anger in your heart, when you decide you're no longer going to attempt to personally try to get them back in some way to bring about your own vengeance, you're not letting them off the hook. You're simply stepping aside and allowing God to take care of it. God does not forget the hurts that others have brought upon you. He has an ability to bring about the punishment that they so rightfully deserve. Turn them over to God. Don't attempt to do it yourself. It's not doing you any good. Let it go. Let go of that anger in your heart. And attempt, as he said, he spoke about it on your way to the altar and you realize you have a problem with someone, go and talk to them. I would encourage you to attempt to make amends. But I understand, depending upon the hurts, depending upon who did it, that may not be possible. Maybe that individual doesn't have a heart towards who even wants to talk about it, right? But if it is possible, if it is an individual that's still alive, if it is someone that you feel like you can have a conversation with, you think you could truly do it, then you should attempt towards making amends. I can tell you, I've had people who've hurt me, and I've attempted to make amends with them to try to resolve it, and they still carried it. But I walked away with peace in my heart knowing that I made my attempt. I've read before in books of talking about psychology, and something that I have read that some suggest that if you have someone who's passed on, or even have someone that for some reason you don't feel comfortable with trying to make amends with directly, then set a chair in the middle of your room and have a conversation with them. Allow God to utilize that process of you speaking out and attempting to let it go, to move on. Let go of that anger in your heart. Make amends if possible. And then find acceptance with God. And then, he says, once you've done that, then freely come to the altar of God. In other words, go about attempting to give your life over to God and find the peace that God wants you to have on a day-to-day basis, regardless of how others are treating you or have treated you in the past. Are you a murderer? Are you committing it daily as you harbor hatred towards another? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy and grace towards me. I thank you for the forgiveness that you so freely offer if we simply come to you humbly seeking it. I ask you to help turn the hearts of those individuals who are listening to this message who are still carrying anger and resentment and frustration towards another. Help them to see the value and simply letting it go and getting on with their lives. Lord, I ask you to be with our country, be with the many that are wrestling with issues, with this pandemic, all the things that are causing us to be divisive, Lord, I give those things to you. Most of all, I ask you to those who are listening to my voice, those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, I ask you to guide us, to show us how we can live in a God-honoring way, that we can do our part in bringing peace into this world as we also find that same peace in our hearts. For it's Jesus' holy and precious name we ask these things. And amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. I hope you have a wonderful week.